Thanks for tuning in to another Cover 2 podcast. Scott Kegley and Taylor Price here on 49ers.com. And it's been a while, Taylor, since we've done one of these podcasts, but we're back. We have Mock Draft 1.0 out. You, myself, Andrew Pentis, all weighed in, gave our picks 1 through 32. And at the end of the day, there were two picks unanimous across the board, and we each had somebody different for the 49ers. Taylor, break it down for us.
Mock drafts, yeah, we got to put our names out there with our picks. It was a long time coming, but we decided to throw ourselves in the deep end, take a shot at it. And so this year we did the mock draft, the three of us. Had a lot of fun with that too. I think it was a good experience seeing sort of the varying opinions. And let's start off right off the bat. You know, the 49ers, I don't expect us to trade up for the number one pick, but two of us took Jadeveon Clowney. You took Blake Bortles. I think I looked at Manziel. I looked at Bortles as well. But I look at Clowney as that freakish player that you just can't pass up on that type of upside. He looks like a beast and somebody who could impact that team for years to come. You have Andrew Luck of the division. You're going to want to get some pressure on him. And I think Houston, they need to go after Indianapolis, much like the way the 49ers are looking to compete with Seattle. That's the type of move they want to do. You go down this list here, there's other big picks. We look at the Raiders. I took Khalil Mack. You guys took Sammy Watkins. I think Sammy Watkins, you know, he might not be the number two overall pick, which I had, but I like Sammy Watkins. I think if you look at it 10 years from now and you talk about who are the best players, if Clowney proves to be that he has the motor and the desire, he's going to be the best defensive player in this draft. And Watkins, that guy looks like a future Pro Bowler, could be even a rookie Pro Bowler at that.
Yeah, no, I like what you guys did with the Jadeveon Clowney selection there. The name that also kind of stuck out to me, and I thought the Texans really looking at a quarterback. You come in, you got a new coach, you're trying to set a tone, but of course the Texans went that way with Mario Williams. They could do that again with Jadeveon Clowney. I think that might actually be the better overall pick. But it'd be hard, too, to turn down Johnny Football, all things Texas, and you'd get Texans fans excited. I think that would be a great move for them, too. But I think Blake Bortles, you saw it as pro day, had a great pro day workout, and really think that might have vaulted him up to the position as the most pro-ready quarterback coming out this year. And then Sammy Watkins, the Raiders fans are going to be excited if he's around there at 5. Like that selection as they look to get more explosive on offense. And then let's jump. Let's see the other picks that we had here. The same, we all agreed. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be a Minnesota Viking next year. So take that one to the bank. There's absolutely no doubt that that's going to happen. Justin Gilbert. Number 10 overall to the Detroit Lions, Oklahoma State cornerback. Easily the most talented quarterback or cornerback in the draft, according to a lot of experts. And you have to like his style of play. And then you get down to what the San Francisco 49ers are going to do at number 30 overall. You guys had a couple of cornerbacks going. I went with USC's Marquise Lee. Surprise, surprise. I know you guys gave me a hard time about that, sticking with my fellow USC Trojan, but I looked there at the need between who was available, at least in my mock draft, had Kyle Fuller and Bradley Roby going a little bit earlier. Do like both those players, think they'd both be great selections for the 49ers, but thought too, it just the value was there at number 30 to take a guy like Lee.
Not a bad selection. Lee is a burner. He likes to run, and if you look at the track record of Trent Baalke, it's all about speed. I've been thinking about the Kaepernicks and the A.J. Jenkins and some of these high first, second-round type players, LaMichael James. These guys can all run. They're all 4.3, 4.4 guys. And so Roby, I looked it up, 4.39 in the 40. That's a runner. That's someone who can get down the field and stay with a stretch player. And the state of the team right now, we lost Carlos Rogers and Terrell Brown in free agency. There's going to be a lot of competition for spots at cornerback, and I look at it like there might be 5 to 6 high-impact cornerbacks that are going to go in the top 40 to 50 selections. Let's get one of those guys. I think that would be a nice addition for the future of the team. Tremaine Brock did a great job this year sort of establishing himself as a shutdown type of player, an aggressive player. So Roby, I mean, from what I've heard from Matt Miller of Bleacher Report, a guy who does a lot of podcast interviews with us on 49ers.com, he likes Roby's game, said he had a really good 2012 season, sort of slipped off in 2013. But Roby, big stage player, played for Ohio State, a lot of wins with Urban Meyer in that program. So I like that transition of a big cornerback who can run coming into this team and impacting the squad. And Kyle Fuller, to be honest, still learning a little bit about him. I don't know about his game, if it translates. I think from what I've read, for the most part, he's going to be in that 20 to 30 range at cornerback. So if he's the guy, you know, it's worth mentioning Jim Harbaugh was at the Virginia Tech Pro Day. I think he was more perhaps interested in Logan Thomas as a quarterback evaluator, but you never know. Coaches all hands-on all over the team, so maybe Fuller might be someone of interest as well. So all three of these guys, if you pull in Fuller, Roby, or Lee in a 49ers uniform next year, I think the fan base would be pretty excited about either one of those three joining the squad.
Yeah, absolutely. And just so hard to predict when you're sitting at 30 what the other teams are going to do in front of you. You know, I had just had more cornerbacks going early. You guys had more wide receivers going early, and I think that's kind of how it played out. But take it to the bank. You know, one of the three of us is going to get all 32 picks right in the first round. I think that goes without saying. Looking at free agency, Taylor, 49ers active early. We did our first podcast kind of evaluating the additions of Antoine Bethea, Jonathan Martin, Blaine Gabbert, Chris Cook. We talked about some of those guys, how they could impact the 49ers next season, but let's talk about big picture. I know you looked at the offseason scorecard. You have some subtractions there, the Dante Whitner to Cleveland. You have Terrell Brown, Carlos Rogers, starting cornerbacks last year, both in Oakland now. Taylor, how do the 49ers sit after free agency, or at least most of free agency here?
Well, Scott, the philosophy that I've been thinking about recently is the whole trusted agent. Jim Harbaugh, you come in here, you've sort of earned your way, you've proven yourself to be a trusted agent. That's who we value. It's trusted agents over free agents.
I like what you did there.
You can trademark
that. I like what you did there.
Yeah, thank you. So in that mind, a lot of the moves have been bringing back guys, re-signing a Kasim Osgood, Parrish Cox, Phil Dawson, Phil the Thrill. We loved him last year. Even Anquan Boldin. I mean, you keep Anquan Boldin with this team, that's a huge, huge deal for this squad. But the free agency wasn't so much of a go out there and sign players. We had a lot of visits, a lot of rumors. Eventually, what it turned out, we made two trades with Miami and Jacksonville, got some guys with top 50 potential. And that's what you want to see is how they come in here and work with this coaching staff. It's been reported that the 49ers have one of the highest paid coaching staffs in the league. Great guys, you know, technicians, really smart, really able to work with these players. And so want to see what Blaine Gabbert can do working with Jeep Christ or Jonathan Martin, work with Mike Solari. Those are two great players that you would, you know, in other circumstances, they were top 50 draft picks, 10 overall, high 40s for Jonathan Martin. Those are type of players you want to bring in free agency, and the 49ers did it with a low-risk situation, gave up some late-round draft picks who, you know, not necessarily going to be those type of backup quarterback, backup swing tackle players. So great moves by Trent Baalke. Didn't go out and make the big splash, but there's a lot of money that needs to be saved for the pending contracts of Colin Kaepernick, potentially Mikey Potty, Alden Smith, Michael Crabtree. Those are some of the names that people are talking about in the media. So you have to go back to this trusted agent versus free agent, and the 49ers trust the guys that they have in-house, and they are rewarding those players, identifying them, and bringing them back into the fold. So you don't have the DeSean Jacksons and some of those splashier names on the roster this year. You can't pay everybody, you know, as much as if there was no salary cap, if Eddie D was in here like the old days, maybe we have every single person in the NFL. But because of what the 49ers did way back in the day, there's rules about free agency. So you have to go by the rules, and you have to like what San Francisco has done. They've sort of kept the team intact for the most part.
Yeah, I think if you ask 49ers fans, who would you want to see here long term, the guys that you've been rooting for, that the 49ers have drafted, come through their system, they've paid their dues, or would you rather see some high-priced guys, big names come in here from other teams. That's why the locker room's so good. They know that the team's going to treat the players who bust their tails, they're going to treat those guys fairly, keep them here long term. And you got to like where the 49ers sit right now. Something tells me the 49ers aren't completely done. Trent Baalke always finds those bargains late in free agency. That's always kind of been his motto. So you never know what the 49ers are going to do. Wouldn't be surprised, though, if there are a few smaller names, lesser-known names, that come in maybe towards the end, maybe after the draft. You never know what those needs might be once you get the roster a little bit more set. And Taylor, so you mentioned Colin Kaepernick, a guy who the 49ers have been outspoken on. They want a new contract done before the start of training camp. And we are down there training with him in North Miami Beach for a little while. Colin let us go down there for a day, mic up his trainer, and the video is on 49ers.com. If you haven't seen it already, that's one that's a definite watch. Not every day you get to fly across the country and train with your starting quarterback. But
is that how your 40-yard dash improved? Was it a Kaepernick tip? Or?
Yeah, actually, I was doing the same sleds with the deal around my waist, and you know, I was actually down there, you know, running with him. Hopefully that'll pay off next year, though, because that was after the 40.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the sky's the limit. I think, you know, I might be, you know, with some of these guys at the combine, you know, running 4.3s, 4.4s. I don't think that, you know, if I can train like Colin Kaepernick does, shoot, you know, anything's possible. And boy, I mean, you watch the video, Taylor. It was amazing to see him next to guys who are safeties on other team or linebackers or running backs, go through the drills, the same drills that they're going through, and really set the tone is incredibly impressive.
He's a great athlete, and it's almost like we have another Vernon Davis, someone who's, you know, freakishly obsessive about their body and their fitness and all those types of things. So I've been reading some of the comments. I have to bring this to the attention. A lot of people want to say Colin Kaepernick should be working with Joe Montana and should be dropping back from the pocket and chucking footballs, and he should just be doing quarterback things, because when we see him running with the ball, he thinks he's a running back. And let me just say right now, flat out, Colin Kaepernick works harder than any quarterback in the NFL, has so much passion for his craft, will do what it takes. But when you start the off-season workouts, this is more of the conditioning, stamina phase that sort of gets your mind and your body ready for the football camp and the schools and the organized team activities and the mini camp. You think about a pitcher and how many times he throws the ball in the offseason. You know, Tim Hudson, Tim Lincecum, Giants fan over here, they don't go out when the season's over and start chucking and throwing their arm out right away. I mean, you sort of have to work the stamina in the arm and build up the strength and get yourself ready for the grind of spring training, but for the team, it's the off-season program. Colin Kaepernick's going to be out here working with Jim Harbaugh, hands-on, every single day, getting better as a pocket passer. So there's no need to worry about him working with Joe Montana or any of these, you know, internet sort of rumor conversations. I can just sort of put that out there right now. People might not like it, but Colin Kaepernick is devoted to his craft. To see a guy like that who works out as hard as he does and can lift more and run faster than running backs and defensive players, it's just an awesome thing to see. So, you know, he's going to be doing his thing as a passer, getting better in that. And so, you know, rest assured, when the offseason program starts on April 21st, Kaepernick he's going to be in the building leading the way, and those passing drills will start, and all that will continue in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of time for the mental side of the game. They're going to be doing that from the 21st all the way until the end of the 2014 season. And now we know. Now we know exactly when the off-season program is going to start. It's going to be on April 21st. Everybody's going to be back in here. We got OTAs coming up, a couple weeks of that, and a mandatory veteran mini camp June 17th to the 19th. And just going to be great to have everybody back in the building. There's some guys that have stayed here, and you know, it should be noted that there's still guys here working out each and every day, still busting their tails in the off season when they don't have to be working out here. There's guys working out at San Jose State. Colin Kaepernick's working out in Miami. This is a blue collar team, and they know exactly you know, they're going to get out what they put in, and they start doing that right after the season. Even after a disappointing loss in the NFC Championship game, they're back. Kaepernick was here the day after working out, getting ready for next year. And it's going to be coming quickly here, Taylor. We're going to be back out there on the field and have a lot of workouts and a lot of practices to cover very shortly.
I look at the off-season program as it's youth, sort of a youth movement. The veterans, you know what you have in Justin Smith. You know what you have in Anquan Boldin. And you go down the list of the star players on this team. This off-season program is really a chance for the young guys to get the reps, to get on the field, and if something happens to Frank Gore, Kendall Hunter, Michael James, Marcus Lattimore, these are the times where they're going to get out there and get their feet wet. So Lattimore is a guy we're all excited about. How's his knee? How's he looking? You know, he had a great demeanor and confidence going into the end of the season, talking about he's going to be ready, full go for all this. So I want to see what he's going to bring to the table. Tank Carradine as well on the defensive side, a second-round draft pick. What is he going to do with the opportunities while Justin Smith is mentoring him? You know, Justin doesn't need to take every rep, and he will be here. He's all about it, but he's just going to sit there and coach him up. He's going to get his Jim Tom Sula on. So this offseason program, like I said, it's all about for the younger guys, and I'm going to be putting together the top 20 storylines to track, so I want you guys to check out that article. You know, we have Eric Mangini working with the tight ends, seeing how he's going to impact Vernon Davis and Vance McDonald, Garrett Celek. That's going to be an interesting storyline. You know, Bruce Miller, Ian Williams, those type of players who are coming off season-ending injuries, how are they going to rehab in the offseason? I won't give away the entire article right now. You guys got to read it on 49ers.com. But a lot to check out this offseason. Football never stops. We always say we're 365 because we live and breathe 49ers football here. And these young guys, they're really going to get a chance to show what they can do and hopefully move up the depth chart. And when it gets to training camp, it's an opportunity for them to really make good use of this time and battle with the veterans in camp and go into the preseason. It's an exciting year. We got Levi State, and we can spend another podcast talking all about that too.
Yeah, keep sending in ideas. What do you guys want us to talk about on the podcast? It's been a while since we checked in with everybody. We missed you guys. We want you guys to write in, let us know, critique our picks. Tell us who's right. Tell us who's wrong. Tell us who's just way off base, because we want to hear that too. That's kind of the fun of mock drafts. We hope you enjoyed Mock Draft 1.0. We'll try to revise it and get it right on Mock Draft 2.0. Probably coming in a few weeks, Taylor. Is that when we're doing this again?
Whenever
a couple of weeks?
Whenever you get back from your vacation.
Whenever I get back from my vacation, I'll be in Ireland. Sunny Ireland. The weather's going to be fantastic. Looking forward to it, though. Nice chance to recharge the batteries, as Jim Harbaugh would say. That's it. One last time for our Cover 2 podcast, Scott Kegley and Taylor Price, 49ers.com.